Good evening, fellow Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, good old number 33, Jim Hobgood. As always, we take you behind the scenes to take a closer look at Wahoos and the UVA sports program. Lately, the Wahoos are battling tooth and nail to get their sixth ACC win. Maybe Florida State at home tonight will do the trick. Jim and I will cover the latest basketball news, some NFL prospects and their path to glory. And we continue to miss our good friend Bullet Bill Dudley. We'll cover a variety of other topics tonight. As always, we're glad that you're with us.
Indeed. This is Hobbo. We have another exciting show lined up for you tonight. We are delighted to have former UVA power forward Ted Jeffries as one of our guests tonight. He'll be joining us momentarily to talk a little basketball. In addition, sports attorney Vern Inge will join us in the second half hour to discuss the path that NFL hopefuls must navigate prior to the draft. Mr. Maloney will now tell you the several ways that are available to follow Who's Talking.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage you to send questions and comments via email to who's talking@sportsradio910.com. Our shows are archived on thesaber.com. We've also set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
Well, fans, the men's basketball team has suffered through a couple of tough losses on the road in Blacksburg and College Park, both of which are tough places to play. The Wahoos currently stand at 14-9 overall and 5-5 in conference play, heading into tonight's crucial home game against Florida State. Joining us shortly to talk about his days at UVA and the art of making the left-hand bank shot is our guest, Ted Jeffries. Let me give you a little background on Ted. Of course, Ted played for legendary high school coach Morgan Wooten at DeMatha High School from the Washington, D.C. Suburbs. Ted is sixth all-time on the rebounding list at the University of Virginia. He led the team in rebounds in 92 and 93, had 10 double-doubles in his career. And one interesting thing, a couple things, when you look at the stats about Ted, he played 90 through 93, Frank, and during that time, Virginia won at least 20 games every one of those 4 years, and my guess is that was only done one other time, and that was during the Ralph Sampson tenure. So very successful days at Virginia during Ted's career. And the other thing I noticed, he dished out 150 assists. So, I mean, he was setting up some guys. So when you have a post player getting that kind of assist, as a comparison, Ralph Sampson had 157 assists. So Ted was right there. And interestingly enough, Ted only had 184 turnovers. Ralph had 342. So, Ted, are you with us?
I'm here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Glad that you are able to join us this morning. I mentioned Morgan Wooten. I assume he was still coaching when you were there, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I played under him for 2 years.
What was it like? His legend precedes or continues to go on, but what was it like playing for Coach Wooten?
I tell you what, I mean, Coach Wooten definitely instilled the fundamentals of basketball, but more than what he taught us on the court, he taught us about life and the correlations between sports and athletics. You know, I think the one thing that I always remember was, you know, him telling all of his players, said, you know, you use basketball, don't let basketball use you. And I was fortunate enough to play under a great teacher like Morgan, and obviously, you know, the list of pros and college players that have gone on from DeMatha under his watch is long. And, you know, just fortunate to be a part of that list of players and the great teams and championship programs, you know, and the competition and what he demanded on the court was incredible. We'd rather play, you know, play games than to go to practice. They were just so tough.
Ted, this is Frank Maloney. Glad to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you, Frank.
Ted, immediately, one thought that comes to mind is talk to us a little bit about what it was like recruiting back in that era and playing for Jeff Jones and obviously some of your teammates, Brian Stith, Anthony Oliver, those guys. Give us a little sense for those sort of things.
recruiting, I came in under Terry Holland in his last 2 years there. I actually went to Fort Union Military Academy, if you guys remember, for a year before I came over to Charlottesville.
Recruiting-wise,
for me personally, it was because Terry Holland came in, and I was a late recruit. I was a spring recruit. I wasn't one of the blue chippers that he recruited early on, but it was the difference that he made down the stretch. When you add to the prestige of the university, Terry Holland being the iconic figure that he was at that time, really made a difference for me in making my decision to come to Charlottesville.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I thought that he did a great job of making players like myself who weren't the blue chip, like the Brian Sith of the world, the John Crotties, players like myself got better each and every year. And I think that's a tribute to Terry Holland and Jeff Jones.
Talk to me a little bit about that, Ted. You know, I guess my philosophy has always been that, if Virginia goes out and tries to recruit against Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina for those can't-miss kids, 9 times out of 10, we're not going to get those kids. So I've always thought that we ought to go after guys like you describe yourself as, guys who have talent but can develop during their tenure. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I think you have to go. You have to try to land that Brian Stiff type of player, the John Crotties, obviously the Ralph Sampsons. You need those guaranteed pros in your program to compete in the very competitive ACC. I think you should not shy away from that because Virginia is a special place. I think that if you can add one or two of those guys a year to your program. And then add the guys who have good work ethics, that are athletic, that have talent, might not be in that top 100 class. Obviously, you're adding to, you're adding to your firepower as a program. You're hopeful that, you could teach these guys and get them into your program, and they do get better, and they show the work ethic. Being a former coach in the college level, I know it's very difficult these days trying to entice a kid to come to your university. And I don't envy the positions of the coaching staff at all.
Well, as a former player and, as you say, a former coach at what? Both Coastal Carolina and William & Mary, as I recall. What's your assessment of the team this year? Virginia team, obviously.
Well, I think they're, for a while there that they were, playing at higher expectations than anybody might have had for their first, under Tony's first year. I think it's kind of difficult for me to look at this team and say that we're competitive enough on paper by the talent that we have there on the team. I think they're all great kids, and I think that they are working hard. They've worked hard under Dave Lado. I think they're working hard under Tony Bennett. I just wonder, when you look around the league, how we stack up. And I think we need some more players that are ACC-ready caliber players.
Well, I think hopefully the 5 kids that Tony has recruited will include some kids of that level that can come in, and the old line, help is on the way. And if we there's some discussion whether or not Sylvan will come back, but hopefully he will, and Mike Scott, and most of the kids playing significant minutes this year underclassmen. So you have a core to build on with the new kids coming in. But I know you were in coaching for a while. What caused you to get out of coaching and into the development world?
Well, yeah, I think that I noticed at my level and at the time when I got into coaching, there was a heavy commitment to coaching that I don't think that I was necessarily prepared for. I was used to, after coming off of almost a 9-year professional career, a certain lifestyle and I think that the level at which I started was not allowing me to keep up with things that I had going on in my life. I love the game, obviously. I love the camaraderie of coaching. I love teaching the kids and watching them get better. I enjoyed the competition of challenging each and every night we're on the court. But it just for me personally, it was just something I had to make a personal decision that this was a very demanding a very demanding career that I didn't have a lot of control over how I was going to progress.
One question that I remember now, the fans certainly don't know this, but you and my son were roommates for a year down in Williamsburg when you were coaching down there and Dan was at law school at William & Mary. I remember you had a dog named Samson. Do you still have Samson?
You know, unfortunately, Samson passed away a couple of years ago. We found out it was kind of quick. Found out he had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Had him metastasized, but he had a good run together. I had him as a little pup, and I do remember finally Dan and our time together as roommates in William & Mary, and that whole time was very good period of the time of my life, and I've always held Dan in high regard. Obviously, your whole family.
Ted, we're going to switch gears for a second here. As we are wont to do, we love to go back down memory lane, and we wondered what was your favorite moment or game or time when you were at University of Virginia?
Oh, wow. You know, it's kind of hard for me to find one favorite moment. It's funny, we were talking, I was sitting down with Corey Alexander and Junior Burrows. We were all up at the Maryland-UVA game at Comcast, and we went out afterwards and just sitting around talking about old times. And, you know, I guess the year that stands out to me the most is being co-captain of the team fourth year, having an incredible run. We were undefeated up until about mid-January. We had just come off a big win at Duke, and you know, now we have to go to our next Tobacco Road opponent. That's Carolina, at Carolina. Two teams coming in. I know we were undefeated. I can't remember if Carolina was undefeated, but you know, that the beginning of that season. But you know, sweeping Duke that year, you know, it was an incredible run, and I think the best game that I think I've seen, or I participated in as a team, in a total team effort, was our win against UMass in the tournament to take us to the Sweet 16. It was probably the most complete game I think that a Virginia team that I played on ever played, and it was a very exciting time for me.
71-56 was that final score back on March 21, back in 1993.
Just seems like yesterday, huh, Ted?
It really does. It really does.
Ted, you've had a wonderful career with the VAF, and now we understand that you're with the UVA Alumni Association. How's that going?
It's going really well, really well. I've enjoyed the transition, obviously still being able to stay at the university, moving on professionally to take on programs for alumni interest groups at the university, supporting scholarships for minority students here at the university. It's been an incredible experience for me. I love working under Tom Folders and Wayne Cozart, who were obviously Tom, the CEO of the Alumni Association, and Wayne Cozart is the VP of Development. It's been a great experience for me. I miss my guys over at the VAF. I'm always supportive. Obviously, my teammate, Dirk Castor, who has been in that position, is probably one of the best in the country at what he does, is running that and running that athletic foundation. And, you know, I admire the work that they have all done.
Well, Ted, we got to go to break here, but we really do thank you for joining us. Appreciate your comments, appreciate your contributions, not only to the basketball team, but the university, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
To our
listeners, we'll be back after these messages to talk about the recent games, and at the bottom of the half hour, we'll have attorney Vern Inge be joining us. Back in a few.